In about 2 to 3 minutes, we're running a little late. Apologies for that, because the public forum has just ended, so we've still got people trickling in from that session. So we'll try and get started as soon as we can. Please bear with us for a couple of minutes, and we'll get started.
Hello, this is the operator.
Yes.
Hello, and if before the start of the call, someone can just let me know when I can start the recording, please, so I can do it live.
Yes. Hello, yes, we'll tell you when to start.
Oh, thank you very much. Mikey O'Connor now joins.
Anybody on the bridge?
Hello.
Hello. We're just sort of settling in. General session just wrapped up. Hang in there and we'll be with you shortly.
Okay.
Tim Ruiz now joined.
Okay. But you didn't actually live there for any...
For a long time?
Uh-huh.
Maybe a few months. Working on a certain project.
Okay, if I can ask people to take their seats, settle down if possible, so that we may start this GNSO Council wrap-up meeting.
Would you like to start for me to start the recording, sir?
Yes, please.
Okay, so one moment, please. And I would like to remind everybody to press star 6 to mute and unmute your lines to avoid the audio quality disturbances. Thank you. One moment, I start the recording.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear any of that, so if you can just repeat it.
Oh, sorry. I was only trying to remind everybody to press star 6 from your touchpad phone to mute and unmute your lines to avoid any quality audio disturbances. And now I'm going to start the recording. A few seconds for me, please.
Okay, we ready to go?
When the recording started.
Thank you. Welcome everyone to the last GNSO session, main session of this Nairobi meeting.
This call will now be recorded. Please, sir, you can go ahead. Thank you.
Okay, I'll start that again then, just so that it's on record that I'm welcoming everyone to this wrap-up session. Can we start with a roll call, please, Glenn?
Certainly. Jack Kearns? Are you on the... Jack? Oh, sorry. Jack? Jack, are
hello,
you on the line?
Hello?
Hello?
I know.
Have we got anybody from Reston on the line?
Yes, we do, Glenn.
Thank you.
Chuck is here, Christina is here, and Caroline is here.
Thank you. Yourself, Christina?
Christina is dialed in remotely.
Thank you, Milton.
No, Tim.
And Tim. Rafik Damak? Mary Wong?
Here.
Debbie?
Here.
Rosemary Sinclair, are you perhaps on the line? No? Andrei Kolesnikov?
I'm here.
Jamie Wagner?
Here.
Wolf Ulrich Knoben?
Here.
Zaid Jamil?
Here.
Have I left anybody out? Who's Bill Drake, sorry, Bill. And Wendy. Have I left anybody out?
Glenn?
Yes. Olga, welcome. Thank you.
You have to give the food back if you do.
Anybody else? Have we perhaps got Edmund on the line? Thank you, Stefan. Over to you.
Thanks, Glenn. And I believe Hang Chuang Li is on the line as well, just to mention that.
Thank you, Hang Chuang. I'll put you down.
Can I ask at this point if anyone wants to amend the agenda in any way? Bill?
Hi, I'm just looking at it now, and I do not see, unless I'm missing it, you can tell me, do we not have a discussion of the call to vote for the review teams?
That is agenda item 4, unless I'm...
Is it? Did I miss it? I'm sorry. Oh, it's not bolded. That's why. I just missed it. Sorry.
Is that okay, Bill? Great. Any other comments? Hearing none. Let's start with item 2 then, and the action items from the Vertical Integration PDP and the very fruitful debate that we had yesterday. And I want to start off by... echoing Mary's email yesterday and thanking everybody for their involvement and their help in getting resolution on this. So just to, perhaps I can just give a quick update of what the working group that was tasked by the council with working on this PDP met yesterday for straight after the council meeting for its first meeting. What we have on the agenda at the moment, first of all, is making sure that the working group is actually brought together. So I have asked Glenn to put out a call for volunteers. Glenn, can you just let me know when that call is going out? Glenn said it will go out.
It will go out sometime today.
Thank you, Glenn. So there's a call that's going to go out sometime today. I would ask all of you, please, to forward that to your groups so that we can make sure everybody who wants to be on the working group is aware of their need to contact Glenn at her usual email address and say that they want to be on the working group. I have set a deadline of next Monday, not this coming Monday, but the one after that. That would be Monday the... Let me just
26.
Check. Thank you very much. For volunteers to request to join the working group. And the next item on our agenda is to work on refining Objective 5 in order to meet the Council's request for the working group to come back with a definitive version of the Charter or two alternative versions of Objective 5 and then let the Council decide. But that should be done by the next Council meeting, so we have 3 weeks to do that. The group has been made aware of that. That is duly noted. And that is a deadline we are set to meet. I am acting as council liaison to the group, so I will be providing the council with regular updates. And as such, I am acting as interim chair. And once the group is constituted, the first item on that agenda then will be to nominate a definitive chair. Are there any other comments or questions on the PDP working group? Chuck, you've raised your hand.
Yes, thanks, Stefan. Just wanted to share a comment. I think it would be helpful if you, as interim chair, when you make a call for volunteers or however you approach it, to communicate that following the anticipated guidelines for working group, that you note that it would be helpful to get someone who is relatively neutral. I don't know that we ever get anybody perfectly neutral, but I think it would be helpful if you included that in however you approach it. Thanks.
Chuck, can I just ask you to say that last part again? We're having some... the sound isn't as good as it was, and I'm not sure if
is
I understand...
Is this better?
Go on.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay, I'm real leaning over the Polycom. I'm just suggesting that however you put out a message with regard to selecting a chair and maybe even seeking volunteers, note the working group guidelines, the draft working group guidelines that emphasize the neutrality of the chair. Again, I don't believe we can ever get perfect neutrality, but we should strive to get someone that is relatively neutral in the chair position.
Thanks, Chuck. That was clear. I didn't intend on putting a written call out for chair, but to try and I've asked for a conference call to be organized not next week because everyone's traveling back, obviously, but the week after, and that would coincide with that would be past our deadline for calls for volunteers, so we would then have a constituted working group, and I would like the first item on the agenda for that call to be the selection of the chair. And I fully agree that the chair needs to be neutral. It's what I tried to do in the drafting team, and it's certainly crucial that the chair be as neutral as possible going forward to the working group. Can I just say that the technicians here are telling me that if you're able to not use the Polycom but a personal handset, that would be helpful for the sound level here.
There are no personal handsets in this room.
Okay, we'll make do with what we have. Thanks, Chuck.
And Stefan, just one follow-up. Well, essentially what I'm saying is make the point about a relatively neutral person for chair before any activity happens on that, too, so that people are aware of that before they start making nominations or volunteering.
That's taken on board. Thanks very much. Tim.
I'd like to even maybe go a little farther with that suggestion, in that I don't think that it would be a good idea to have either a registrar or a registry representative be chair. I think that would be a difficult argument to make that they would be neutral. And then one other suggestion I would make is that it might be good for the working group if, whether it was someone from the General Counsel's Office of ICANN or someone else who actually very early on gave the working group some advice as far as, discussions that might cross the line in antitrust matters, for example, within the U.S. or, competition rules or regulations that might, come into play within the EU or just in general, so that the working group doesn't lead itself down a path or discussions that will get participants in trouble or make it impossible for certain participants to even fully engage.
Thanks, Tim. I think that's an excellent suggestion, the second one, and I'll hand it over to Margie. I just want to say before I do that on the first suggestion, that's duly noted. So I will not, in that case, be putting myself forward as candidate for chair of the group. If other members of the group feel strongly about the fact that it shouldn't be a registered, not be sufficiently neutral. Margie.
Thanks, Tim, for that suggestion. We'd actually already considered that, and we were thinking of perhaps one of their first calls having maybe Amy from Legal Department giving us kind of a talk about, overview on what the antitrust limitations are and what we can and can't talk about. So we'll try to schedule that very early on into the process.
Thanks, Martin.
You've done that before, and it does a great job of that, so I appreciate that.
Zahid.
Yeah, as a counselor in my personal capacity, I would like to say that I would have no objection if Stefan continues to chair that working group.
Thank you. Any other comments? Chuck? Oh, sorry, that was an unlowered hand.
Stefan, I could not hear the last statement. Could speak a little closer to the mics or whatever you have there, that'd be helpful.
Chuck, this is Zahid. I'm saying I would have no objection if Stefan continued to chair that working group. I understand other people have concerns. I'm just stating my own personal opinion.
Thank you.
Alan.
I have no great problem if a registrar or registry chairs it, as long as it's clear that they're on that group purely as the chair and not representing the special interests also, which is a rather hard thing to do, having tried it. And moreover, since the call for applicants for the work group is likely to attract people who do have interests, you may want to explicitly note in that call that the group will need a chair who will be act impartially whether they have interests or not. So you may want to explicitly attract the chair.
Okay, so I think both your and Chuck's suggestion is that we do put something out in the call with regards to the chair. Glenn, did you make a note of those? And I think we may want to include in the call just a short point about the chair of the working group and the fact that we will be actively looking for a chair as soon as the deadline has passed, and that chair would be required to be neutral, that should do it. I will then explain at the next meeting exactly what we've discussed here, and I do agree with all the comments made about the need for neutrality. It really is something that I set out to do in the drafting team itself, where I refrain from personal comments as much as possible, because I understand that this issue really does require some neutral leadership. Alan.
Just to follow on comment, in a working group where there is not quite as much at stake, including financial matters at stake, one can accept having two hats and switching them. In this kind of one, I think the chair has to wear only one hat. And as I said, I don't mind who it is as long as that person acts squeaky clean when they're doing it.
Zahid.
The feedback I got from my members in the BC was that despite Stefan and, you know, no personal intent to that, you're a registrar, but they felt that you were extremely neutral. And that was a good comment that I got. I understand that people have concerns with regard to antitrust, and I think that's a valid concern. But if we are going to choose saying that, you know, Stefan shouldn't continue, I would suggest that we make a special note that he has acted in a very neutral manner so far. I just want to make a special mention of that. If we are going to, for other purposes, maybe legal purposes, choose somebody else, that's fine. But I just want to make that mention, and I'd like that recorded.
Thanks very much, Zahid. I appreciate that. Tim.
Yeah, then, Stefan, just to be clear, I never intended to imply that you weren't. That wasn't my intent at all. I'm just concerned that that a truly neutral chair is leading this group. That's it. Thanks.
Thanks, Tim. Any further comments on this? Hearing none. Let's move on to item three. And
thank you.
Sorry, was someone on the line there? No, maybe just
yeah. Edmund joining.
Sorry, who was that? Oh, Edmund, welcome. We've just left.
Hello.
Edmund, we can hear you. Can you hear us?
Yes, I just joined the call.
Great, thanks. Welcome. So we will move on to item three and the additional discussion on the prioritization model. Jamie, I think you're reaching for the mic.
Okay. Would you like me to do a PowerPoint presentation again? There are some slides that were not presented in the open meeting, but I will be glad to talk about it without the aid of slides. Okay,
Jamie, if you think it's going to be it would be useful for us to see those slides, then by all means, let's do so. Yeah. If you'd rather start the discussion without slides, we can do that as well.
I think I can. Did you pay attention to the presentation, the open meeting? Yeah. Okay. So, do you still remember it? Okay. So I won't take your time with that. I would like to reinstate and to remember that the work of this group, this team, is aimed not at the prioritization, but to a model of prioritization. To propose to this whole group, and our main effort is to provide an efficient and effective way for us to do this exercise as a group. And well, the work, the first staff and Ken and Liz, and I think Rob also had a part on this first brainstorm. They brought us a two axis model. One was value, and the other one is difficulty. Yeah, it's okay. Well, after long discussion, and we defined these two axes, and we also had some discussion on the list of prioritized projects. We also came up with a list of non-prioritized projects, and this is something that I will defer discussion here to another meeting. We did the exercise in the group, prioritizing in these two axis model, and I'm not following it, Marika, so...
I'm just going to the slides that were in the presentation,
okay.
So people can see those, if you want, otherwise I'd take it down.
Okay. Well, I would...
If it's going to make things more difficult, then perhaps, Marika, you can
just... No, it's okay. This is the two-axis model, just to... it's a kind of illustration, okay? There is no actual project in this picture here. But this is kind of work we have done. But after we reinstated that priority was mainly value, and this is what we will propose the council to do: is to propose only if there is a tie between two projects on value, then we will have a prioritization on difficulty as a tire breaker. This is our proposal. The model also, and now Marika, I would like you to move along. Well, this is just a schedule timeline of our progress. We have been having meetings every Tuesday, and it's been a good work. Well, it seems we have been well. We're having some problems here with the staff.
Yeah, just bear support with us for a minute. We're having some discussions with. If I understood it, they want us to change rooms, which won't be convenient. So just bear with us. But Jamie, sorry, just carry on, and we'll try and handle it as an aside.
Okay.
Okay, turn off the speakers, please. Is there any way that we can hear Chuck and the others without having the speakers going through? Okay. Okay, let's carry on. And welcome to Africa.
I was trying to eat my... dessert while they fight. Yeah, okay. Don't speak in the microphone. Well, I will speak. I whisper. I will whisper. Okay. People from Raston, are you still there?
Just carry on, Jamie, for now.
Okay.
We'll work it out on the fly.
Okay. Well, what I have to add is how the how we will present this to the council. It will be on the we will present a test. But it will require a meeting only to do this prioritization work, and it will be like that. Each counselor will receive list of the prioritized projects with a description of it. Also, we propose grades, and each counselor then will put his grades, and no way.
Someone's coming in now to adjust the volume.
They cannot hear me.
Okay, let's do this. Can you hear me? Okay, can I just take a break for 5 minutes just so we can work this out, because we're having issues here. I apologize once again to the Reston people. Right. Please allow us a couple of minutes break. We're under some pressure here from government officials to not have any sound come out of our room, which obviously would put a stop to the remote participation possibility. So please just bear with us for five minutes. We'll take a break here. Thank you.
Hello, this is the operator. Hello, excuse me, is there anyone there?
Yep, we're here in Reston. We're just hanging out waiting for the room to get cleared up.
Yeah, I don't have at the moment anyone on the meeting view to communicate to. However, the line is from Brian Lowe. That seems to be very low. We try to adjust the volume and put it up, but it looks like more people are talking from the same room. So if someone talks far away from the microphone, then the voice disappears.
Yeah, actually what they're doing is moving to a new room. The problem is it's right next to a state function, and they've been asked to cut the volume down. So I think what they're doing is taking a five-minute break to find a new room.
Okay, that's brilliant. I will also, if you like, I can edit the recording and just cut this bit of interruption so that it will be smooth at the end.
Yeah, that would be terrific. Very good idea.
Okay, then. So, yeah, let's wait for them to connect again.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I guess would be 5 minutes. Maybe 10 minutes.
Yeah, that's fine. I will be on the line anyway, so I will retrieve the time when the call starts again, and then I will edit the body of the file afterwards.
Terrific. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
practical server.
No. Un año trató este, un mes al anterior, al otro perro también, porque uno que se me deje, pero es lo más jodido.
Bueno, pero con Blue hace una semana.
No, está bien.
¿Cuándo querés?
Testing, 1, 2, 3.
Yes. But can you go?
Do you want me to try again?
Hello. 1, 2, 3.
2, 2, 2, 2. There it is. 2.
1, 2, 3, 4. Yes. Hello. 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 1, 2, 3, 4. Hello. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I learned how to count in English.
Testing, 1, 2, 3, okay. Testing.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
1. Okay, well, let's I can hear it. Let's try that.
Do you people can hear us?
Okay, so let's try and pick up the meeting again. Sorry once again for that. Jamie, over to you.
Okay. Well, I would like you to join me in this slide that decisions confirm, which is the main thing. Well, we have completed the project list. As I said, we have simplified the model to one factor only. The other factor will be a tiebreaker, if necessary. The definitions of the two axes were completed, and what I would like to explain more is how the prioritizing section session would. Okay. Well, now it got. Yes, it's good. Good now. Okay. Yeah, the problem is that if I speak louder, then the other room will.
Yeah, Jamie, just carry on like this. Let's pick it up there. Speak like that so the others can hear. And if some guy comes in with a gun, then we'll stop.
Okay. It depends on the size of the guy that comes in. Okay.
Actually, it's the size of the gun that matters, but.
Okay. So the prioritizing session we are proposing, will run like that. Every counselor will receive an Excel sheet prepared with a 7-point, 7 scale from 1 to 7 to rank each project against each other. And then we will run a Delphi session. What means it's in Adobe Connect with a polling feature for each project. There will be a ranking for all, and we will that will show the median and how many votes were for each of the 7 grades, 7 points in the scale, and if the deviation, the median deviation, is below 2, there will be no other round of prioritization. If the median is below 2, then we would have another round of prioritization. But before that, each extreme ranker, I would say, the person that gave the lowest, or persons that gave the lowest value and the highest value would have each 3 minutes to defend his position, and then we would have another prioritization round, and if in this time the and do it 3 times at most, okay, expanding. Probably this is something that we will discuss still. So if we will extend or not the range of median values for each round. So for us to come to a suitable compromise and conclusion on which will be they finished? So I can speak loud now. We intend for us it took 7 minutes for in okay. For us it took 7 minutes to for each average for each for each ranking for each round of for each project, I mean. So we are confident that with one session, one prioritizing session, we will be we will reach a first ranking of all the projects we have. Subsequent rounds will run much faster, and we are proposing that they are done at each meeting of ICANN in a presential way. So, if needed, okay. Well, I'm glad to take questions. If
thanks, Jamie. There are some questions. Christina, you had your hand up earlier on. I don't know if that's still the case. Okay, let's go to Olga.
Thank you, Stefan. Just wanted to thank Jamie. I was not able to hear everything because the audio was going back and forth, but I think he made a very detailed explanation about the test that we went through in our working team. So thank you, Jamie, and thank you, staff, and thank you, working team, for this. Thank you, Stefan.
Thank you, Olga. I might just add at this stage that the meeting next door is now finished, so we're back on full audio, so you should be able to hear us fine now. Wendy.
Yes, I just had a question. Thanks very much for the presentation. I had a question about the time commitments that while running the test took 7 minutes. I imagine the preparation time for participants to learn about all of the ongoing initiatives would be considerably more time, so that this exercise, in fact, will take quite a bit of time and attention from counselors.
When the prioritized projects list with it's being prepared for the for all the counselors, there will be some not only the list with a short description of each project, but also description of how to run this individual. But I think it's something that on the go. From a personal experience, you learn on the go, and participating in this prioritizing session will give because I don't know at least for me, but I think it would be even for the more experienced counselors. I don't know if everybody has. A thorough understanding of all the projects going on. So I think this view this of all the projects together with a description of them and the and even the discussion during the Delphi sessions, this will come to this 7 minute this will come to a median comprehension. They tend they tend to go to the center. That was a fear of also of some, that all the weights would come to the center.
So I didn't mean to suggest that it wasn't worthwhile time. I do think it is worthwhile for counselors to learn more about all of the projects, and I just also wanted to note that it sounds like significant time commitment.
Okay, but I think, and I want to alert all the counselors that a first round will take a whole meeting, a whole call, and not 1 hour. It would be at least an hour and a half, in my opinion.
Thank you. Are there any other any further questions or comments on this? Okay. Jamie, we're done?
Okay.
Yep, good, thanks. Let's move on to item four then, and the AOC review team volunteers. We've obviously all been extremely busy with this during this Nairobi meeting. I don't think that the process is over for everybody at this stage. And I know we have a call that is scheduled on Monday about this, but if anyone would like to speak to it now, I see Wolf has his hand up.
Yes, I wouldn't just to talk about the process. Maybe Bill is more better in a position to do that. I have two things to say. The one is the conference call on Monday. I don't know. I don't remember how it came to that date, because we both from the ISPs, we have extreme problems well to attend. I myself, it depends on my flight. You know, back to Germany, and I raised that point. So maybe if I'm not on time, so I cannot participate. That's one, and Jamie cannot participate at all on Monday. So if there is a chance, to shift a little bit this call, so I would like to ask for that. The other thing I would like to talk about is the process, how the council is going to vote on that. That means the question, are we going to vote on one candidate after the other, for example, or are we going on a bunch of candidates? How to do that? Those are my points.
Gone, Bill. Gone.
Hi. Okay. Let me just take a moment. First, as the scheduling of the 15th was done by the staff, having done a doodle. Maybe Glenn is gesturing at me. Maybe she can say.
Yes, this is Glenn. The scheduling was done after doodle, which was very, very difficult to find any time. And in consultation with Chuck and the chairs, it was decided that that time was, in fact, the only time that would fit in with the schedule. And I'm very sorry about the ISPs.
I'm not quite sure what the resolution will be for you. We'll try and see what we can do. But remember, part of why we were talking about the 15th was that in the event that we had to do any work in the evaluation team based on the first round result from a standpoint of diversity, because we're supposed to turn in our final outcome on the 17th, we were trying to keep the 16th free. There's also the possibility that if somehow things go verklempt or go bad, then we would have a little wiggle room. But I don't really know what the option is for you, Wolf. Well, you address that, and then I can talk through the other points that people have to know.
Just in case, So I will try my very best well to attend this call. So, but I cannot promise. So just in case, if it would fail, so is it possible to send an alternate from the ISPs?
Let me jump in. This is Chuck.
Yeah, Chuck, go ahead.
To bend the rules on this one, we've been forced into a situation that violates everything we do, okay? And what I would suggest as a first step is, Jamie, are you going to be able to make that call?
Not at all.
You can't make it, so neither one of you can make may not be able to make it from the ISP constituency. Is that correct? Now, Wolf, you're going to try, but there's a possibility you have no control over us.
Yeah,
kind of like me tonight. Wolf. I'm flying home, and then I have to make sure I get home in time to call in for the board call. So, if there's any flight delays, I'll probably have to switch flights. But I'm okay if you send an alternate. I'm just going to stick my neck out. Now, is Margie there or Liz?
Yes, we're both here.
Am I sticking my neck out too far? I see this as kind of an informal process. We're endorsing candidates. We're not performing elections. And I'm assuming that in the case of the ISP constituency, for example, and maybe it's true of the whole commercial stakeholder group, that you guys have, come to some decisions or will have come to some decisions before this meeting. And so what we really need is the input from your stakeholder group and as constituencies, if that's applicable for your stakeholder group. And I don't know, Liz and Margie, if you have to discuss it with the general counsel's office, but my inclination, unless told differently, is to be flexible on this. And if neither one of you can make it, I suggest that you communicate. Now, in the case of the registry constituency, which I can speak to more directly, the kind of direction we've given our counselors, we could give to the council in advance. I don't know if that's possible for other stakeholder groups. It's probably not. But to the extent that you can do that, we don't want to exclude anybody on this. And so just assume that identify someone who can participate just in case you can't make it, Wolf. And as far as Jamie not being able, if you have a constituency position on various candidates, I'm comfortable with whoever's there communicating that position.
May I come with that?
No, I will wait. And Liz and Margie, if you think I'm way off base, say it now. Otherwise, I'll wait till somebody tells me differently.
It's Liz. Margie stepped out for just a moment. I will check to verify and get back to you. I'll try to do it now. But I do not think a non-council member can vote under the bylaws.
May I come?
We are not taking a vote. We're just determining who we're going to endorse.
Zahid. Yes, I think it's fine.
Zahid wanted to say something, and he has to leave, so...
Sorry, I'm sorry to inconvenience. It's just that I'm on a panel next, and I'm already about 7 minutes late. An important question which Mike wanted to just get clarification on is that slot 1, 2, 3, and 4 are basically determined slots already by the different SGs. That's fine. 5 and 6, when the voting takes place on these, is it a possibility that if there's only one candidate... they could go through. I'm sorry, Bill, to ask this. Or do we have to vote for those candidates and then they go through? So anyone who's going to fill those slots has to get 60% of both houses. And that's a question. If you could get a clarification.
Thank you.
Part of the difficulty here is that we don't know the recommendations from the evaluation team yet. They're meeting later today, I think. If it is that simple on the one seat, we could actually do an email process like we do in other situations. So that makes it easy. The problem is, in this case, we're going to we may have some rounds of voting, and that doesn't work very well for that. So,
Zahid, how long do you have?
Kind of need to go. I mean, I'm happy to get an answer.
Can I just try to do this real quick for you? There's three things we have. This is Bill. There's three things just to be aware of, okay? First, it would be good if people could take a look at the list of candidates. All the candidates are up on the website. There are 12 people who submitted applications. One, Eric Bruner Williams, we are holding aside because he prefers to be considered for the security and stability team. That means there are 11. My understanding as of right now is that three of those would be allocated to the allocated seats by stakeholder groups. We probably, if that's the scenario, the evaluation team will be meeting right after this meeting. I'm guessing that we will have two candidates for the unaffiliated slot and five candidates for the open slot. What I was suggesting in the email I sent to the list was as follows. We talked some time ago about the whole notion of what endorsement meant, right? And endorsement, initially, in the thinking of a lot of people, we were expecting a big pool that we were going to have to winnow down. So we were saying, okay, each stakeholder group can endorse up to two people for the open competitive slot, which would mean we'd have a pool of eight, which presumably would be manageable for the council to vote on. As it has happened, because the pool is small and because people have had concerns about having names withdrawn from the process through whatever mechanism, bottom up or not, what I suggested in the email to you all a couple days ago, in which several people replied and said that's fine, is that we just view the endorsement as essentially a sort of stakeholder group saying, as a signaling mechanism, these are our preferred candidates, but everybody is in the pool to be voted on. So if that, and so the people who have replied to my message have said that that's fine with them. Nobody has contested it. I don't think we have to pass a motion to do this. It's just an implementation issue. So then the point is simply this, Zahid. If that scenario is correct, you would have two lists. You'd have a list of five people for the open slot. You'd have a list of two people for the unaffiliated slot. What I suggested was simply that we would, on the Adobe, the staff could put the names of and the two lists in the first round. We go around the room on the call after some introductory comments about the endorsements, and people simply indicate their preference. People vote. They name one candidate that they think should be the candidate that wins that slot. After that round is finished, we see if anybody has got a majority of both houses. If there is no majority of both houses, we do then the second round, in which hopefully some people would maybe shift their votes towards somebody who just needed a little more to get over the hump, and then we would do that. If after two rounds there is no resolution, nobody gets a simple majority for either of the slots or for one of the slots, then we just say, okay, we stop, because we can't just vote or, you know, go through cycle after cycle after cycle. In that case, then, just the three allocated people, or if it's one or two of the voted people, would be passed on to Giannis and Peter. Okay? So that's basically what I suggested in terms of what the endorsement process meant and how you're voting. You're voting for the one person out of a fairly small list that you think is most qualified. And if we don't get a simple majority of both houses, we do a second effort. And if that doesn't work, then we bag it. Then, if that's the case, and this is my last point, the diversity language that we wrote presumed that we had gone through a round and come up with a complete slate, you know, four allocated candidates, two voted candidates, and we were going to look at that and say, okay, is there more than one from each geographical region? Is there, you know, are there enough women, and so on? If it turns out that we have a smaller pool, if nobody gets simple majorities of both houses on those two voted slots, and we only have the allocated positions, I don't think we have to go through a diversity exercise. The language that we accepted did not say that no matter what the pool is that we're passing, we're going to subject it to a diversity analysis. It said if there's a round, a complete round, and there's a full slate that's been voted and allocated, that we would do this. So the point is we could avoid the trouble of having to go through this torturous evaluation team-led effort to rebalance things if the vote goes well, or if the vote is inconclusive. Depends. But as I, right now, as I understand it, the allocated positions, and then I'll stop. I mean, I might be talking out of school because I know not everybody's announced, but it looks like we'll have three allocated candidates from three different continents. So we'll have the geographical diversity. We just won't have the gender. But given the language says, unless the applicant pool allows, and the applicant pool was small, and we only had two women, I think we can have some flexibility in interpretation.
Thanks, Bill. Chuck, are you in the queue?
I am. Just some clarity from Bill. Now, you are assuming that each stakeholder group would have a selection, right? There'd be four selections, and out of that, you're assuming that there would be three continents recommended based on unofficial information we have right now. Is that correct, Bill?
I'm actually assuming that only three stakeholder groups are going to be allocating candidates based on what I've been told.
And which stakeholder group are you thinking will not? Because I may have newer information for you.
Okay, well, I don't know that I'm at liberty to say this because this is up to the stakeholder groups to
nominate. Let me just say this. I have just confirmed with the chair of the registrar's constituency that they will be providing a candidate.
Aha, okay, that's different from what I was told the other day. In that case,
I understand. The chair is in the room with me here.
Okay, so then there are four.
This is Tim. That's what I expressed on the council meeting yesterday as well.
Yeah, that's what I understood.
We were going to follow the process and come up with somebody.
Okay, I'm sorry.
We're pretty close.
I'm sorry, Tim. I didn't understand follow the process meant that you were nominated. I had been told that you were not actually going to endorse. So that's fine. So then there's four allocated candidates, two of whom I guess would be American, and two from two other continents. That would be all right, and then we have to see what happens with the two voted slots.
Thanks, guys. Jamie posted a question. Jamie, do you want to speak to that?
I posted a question, and I had to it in the chat. It's if we could fix a second meeting for Tuesday, that would happen only if needed. That would be of a great help, at least for me.
Well, Stefan, if it's okay, I'll respond to that.
Thanks.
Unfortunately, the doodle on Tuesday wasn't much better than the one on Monday. So that doesn't mean we couldn't set a backup meeting. I'm really hoping. I mean, first of all, for the unaffiliated slot, we don't have very many choices. I don't think that one's going to take very long, and I think we'll do that one first. I think, and then let me come back, Bill. Your suggestion is to go once we eliminate the four candidates selected by the stakeholder groups, and we've moved Eric to another slot. If we then decide on the unaffiliated candidate, because that's the easier one, are you suggesting then that we just go one by one in the remaining applicants and take votes?
Again,
is that what I understood you describing?
Whether there's one or two unaffiliated depends on the evaluation team conversation that will happen in an hour. But I'm guessing that there'll be two, in which case there would then be two candidates for unaffiliated, four candidates for the open slot, and we would simply put the names on the board, and people would express their vote, and we see how the numbers line up. The staff tallies each vote.
Okay, what I was getting at, each person votes once out of the pool of four or pool of two, depending on which one we're talking about?
Oh, yeah, sure. I don't think we could get much more complicated if people want to. But I don't think we really want to, do we?
No.
This is Tim. Can I ask a question here or two? Is the vote, when we say vote, are we talking about the vote of all councilors?
Yes, Tim. As Chuck points out, vote is not quite the right word, but express a preference, it's just the councilors.
Okay, because I'm just getting confused between what Chuck told Liz and then what we're talking about, because we communicate clearly so we don't get at issues later. And the other thing I just wanted to express was that in the ET meeting today, Adrian cannot make it, so I was going to substitute for him if that's okay, and we may have to do that on Monday as well. He's still just getting used to a new baby in the house. So,
yeah, Tim, I think you can actually count on doing that on Monday as well. I spoke to Adrian last night. I don't think he'll be able to make it. I just want to draw the council's attention to the message that Christina just put on the chat, in case not everyone has seen it. And Wolf has a question.
Yes. So what I understand is so that the council is going to vote on slot 5 and slot 6 in the same manner. So that means first round, majority in both houses. Second round, I understood you, a bill maybe also majority in both houses, and then after that a simple majority, that was not too clear for me. That was one question. And the other question is related to the evaluation team. What is the task then for the evaluation team? Seems to be only, so in this respect, for slots 5 and 6, to find or to allocate people or applicants to those slots.
Wolf, as a member of the evaluation team, I think you probably can answer your own question. There's three functions, right, to the evaluation team. One is to, because when we put this together, the assumption was there was going to be a big pool and we needed some means of assessing, ranking, recommending, okay? So we have a small pool, so it'll be a fairly easy task. We're going to look at basically six names, and we're going to sort of indicate to the council, having read more carefully into these people's backgrounds, which one we think is, if we can reach agreement, which one we think is most qualified for the slot. If we can't reach agreement, we can record exactly how that played out. I'm sorry?
Okay.
Do you want me to stop for a second? Or should I continue?
Come back.
Okay. A second function of the evaluation team is to allocate, in the case of any ambiguity, the people to the slots. We have basically two cases where there's some ambiguity as to how one might allocate, but I think from my conversations with people on the ET, we're reaching kind of agreement on how those should be handled, and so I think that should be a straightforward thing. At least I hope so. We'll find out in an hour. And then the other function of the evaluation team, if it were to come to it, is that if we're going to follow the procedures that we specified for ourselves, which I think it would look kind of weird if we didn't, if we went through the first round vote and ended up with a non-diverse group, the evaluation team was supposed to try to lead an effort to negotiate some solution that might increase the diversity. Now, again, as I said, in my view, if nobody were to get the simple majority of both houses for those two slots, I don't think that the evaluation team would be required, personally, to then go back and do that with regard to the allocated slots, because that isn't the way we wrote the language. If, on the other hand, we ended up with a full complement of six, and there was inadequate diversity, we'll have to decide. Now, we can, of course, try to be a little more flexible given the pool and based on the language we have about the pool, whether or not we feel we have to be very rigorous in doing that. I hope very much, as I'm sure everybody does, that we will not have to have that process kick in.
Chuck. This is Chuck. Tim, do you know when the registrars are going to be able to decide their candidate?
Can you hear me? Hello?
Yes, we can hear you.
We can hear you.
Oh, okay. You know, I don't know. I mean, it's as soon as the executive committee, I guess, feels comfortable that they've got the information they need to make a call. I don't think it's far off, but I can't say it will be today or tomorrow necessarily.
The reason I ask that is once we know the geographic diversity and gender diversity on the four stakeholder candidates, that may in fact really help us narrow down the open seat. And once we know the affiliated seat, I think it's quite possible that for geographic diversity, the open seat might be determined by that criterion. But again, until we know a little bit more information, it's hard. We can't know for sure.
We're working hard anyway to get some result.
I understand that. I'm not trying to pressure you guys. Once we've decided the affiliated seat, once we know the four stakeholder group seats, we can very easily look at gender diversity and also the geographic diversity, and that could very well narrow our choices down for the open seat, assuming that there's a simple majority of both houses.
Thanks, Chuck. Can we bring this to a close, or are there any more comments on this? Okay, let's move on to item 5, the follow-up discussion on our board seat 13 election, and I will hand it over to Chuck at this point. Chuck?
Okay, sorry about that. I was having a side conversation. With regard to the contracted party house election of Bruce Tonkin, we did learn some things. One of the things, and you guys may be ahead of us on the non-contracted party house, I don't know, because I think you guys meet together some. We're used to meeting together, but we didn't really have a process for doing this. How do councilors vote in a house that's kind of on paper house instead of a functioning body, and how do you involve the NomCom appointee who's part of the house as well? One of the things we're going to need to develop is a timeline and a process for doing that. It doesn't have to be a very elaborate process, but we learned some lessons in that regard, and we did finally get the NCA vote in the House, and as it turned out, it ended up being unanimous support for Bruce, but it was a little bit awkward because we didn't really have anything in place to do that. And I'm only sharing all of this for all of our sakes. Again, on the non-contracted parties House, you may be ahead of us in this regard, but those are factors that are important in making that happen. And if somebody has questions, I'd be glad to try and answer them.
Thanks very much, Chuck, for that. Are there any questions on this, please? None in the room? Sorry, Wolf is just making his way back to his microphone.
Chuck, well, I would appreciate also if that were what you are doing in your house or planning to do with regards to kind of process for this could be made available for the other house as well. Because so we will be faced with the same problems for the next years around. Thank you.
Yes, that's a good idea, Wolf, and we'll try and do that. We're going to be, I don't know, probably in the next few months working on process, because we also have a process with regard to election of vice chair, right, that will need to happen later this year. So absolutely, I think it'll be good for us to share. In the meantime, if you guys get any good insights, please share them with us.
Thanks. On item 5.2, is there... who's the point person for the GCOT? Who's the liaison to the council for that? You?
What does he mean, liaison? So I'm a member of this GCOT. You want me to ask for recommendations? Or
not necessarily, but I think if we do... develop a process, through trial and error. I think Chuck's intent, and he'll speak for himself in this agenda item, is to make sure that the knowledge that we have developed here gets passed on to them.
Yes, sure. So we have, this is on our agenda, one of the priority items as well. So really, so it should be passed to them. Yeah.
Okay. Thanks. Any further questions or comments on this one? Let's move on to item 6 and continue our discussions on the improvements progress. Are there any additional comments on the working team progress? Not apparently not. Jamie, you have it. Okay, well, go on.
I just want to... do you have a notice on this... on the non-contracted parties' house? If the consumer constituency was... has passed or not? How is the status of this? Do anybody has an idea?
You need to ask staff, I think, on that.
On the non-consumer, non-commercial.
Yeah, non-commercial. The NCSG is what you mean, right?
The NCSG is there a consumer constituency that was applying? I would like an update on the status of.
I think it's still under consideration. By the board,
it would not be considered in Nairobi.
No, it will not.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Just to clarify, Jamie, you were talking about NCSG. Are you talking about our initiative or the board's initiative?
A consumer constituency that was applying.
Okay, we have an interest group in formation. I wasn't sure which you were asking about.
Okay.
And also there's a new statement of interest for a cyber cafe constituency as well. So now that's really in the early stages. They've just expressed an interest, but there is the one that is already in the process and actually I think in the board's hands for decision. Is that not right, Liz?
That's right. It's they just submitted the NOIF, so that's in the very early stages.
Okay, thanks. Any further comments on this? Okay, let's move on to 6.2 and turn it over to Marika.
This is Marika. I just wanted to report we had a very disappointing turnout yesterday for a session we organized on the GNSO working group guidelines. Those are currently open for public comments, so I would really like to encourage everyone to share that with your constituencies and stakeholder groups and provide input to the group, as this is an important document and will form a basis for future working groups. So so please have a look at that.
Thanks, Marika. Any comments on this?
Just a brief one. The document has been shared in the registry stakeholder group, and so there's a possibility of some comments there. I provided several inputs yesterday, and compliments to the group because they've done a really good job and put a lot into it.
Just to follow up, I just want to note those that were there really provided very valuable input. So therefore, I think it's would be really helpful if others have a look at that as well, because I'm sure there's some other elements that the group might have overlooked or where you would think further details are necessary or less details might be appropriate. So please have a look.
Okay, thanks. And Marika, you might as well keep the mic because this is your favorite topic.
My favorite topic. We actually had a really good session yesterday. I think we had about 50 people in the room and also 50 people remotely participating. So some very good discussions and questions and input on the report. This is also a report that's open for public comment, I think, until the 28th of March. So again, please share this with your constituencies and stakeholder groups and provide input so the group can take that into consideration when developing their final report. I don't know if there are any further questions following the presentation that was given to the council on Wednesday morning.
Apparently not. Okay. No more questions on this. Let's move on to the item 8. And I think there's a fair amount to discuss on this, actually. One of the things that obviously all those both here and in Reston or participating remotely know that we've this whole week has been centered around topics such as the EOI. I just wanted to bring to council's attention an email that I've just got from, if I can find it again, from Bertrand de la Chapelle on, I'm trying to find it, sorry, so bear with me for just a minute. Here we are. An email from Bertrand de la Chapelle, who has, as some of you may know, been promoting the idea of categories in the new GTLDs, and he has taken it upon himself to call for a birds of a feather meeting this afternoon on the subject of categories. He says, I thought it useful to use the presence of community actors to convene a bird of a feather meeting this afternoon. I've also copied various actors from the community who have expressed interest in this idea and are welcome to participate. I would like to share the proposed purpose of this group to explore further the concept of categories in all its ambiguities and dimensions and study its usability usefulness in the new GTLD program. The group is intended as an opportunity to those who support the notion of categories to identify the various objections to this idea in order to respond to them as fairly as possible and to document the possible benefits it could bring in the development of the new GTLD program, including drafting of the DAG, organization of the application round, and ulterior operations. The group, however, is not convened to discuss whether there should be categories or not. It is a fair question, but not one, not the one that we'll try to address. I have several questions on this myself, and I would like to put my questions in the context of the GATT communique that Bruce circulated. I hope everyone's had time to see it. I was actually shown it yesterday, and I know that the GATT have had some internal back and forth about their position on the EOI. I will summarize that position. They feel that the EOI should not go ahead as proposed at this stage, and that the board should not go ahead with the EOI when it comes to taking a decision on that in tomorrow's meeting. So the GAC seem to be very active in this area. I would like to suggest that the GNSO needs to look at this. I'm not suggesting that we necessarily become active or put forward a position, although we really should at least be aware of what the GAC is saying and doing and pushing for, because a lot of the stuff that they're doing actually, in my mind, to some extent conflicts with certain recommendations that the GNSO put forward when the initial new GTLD recommendations were put forward. Chuck has spoken to this at some length during various sessions this week, and one of the problems that we might have might be the communications period, for example. I'm sure you've all heard a lot of discussion around this. Some people suggest that the communications period should run concurrently to the EOI, but that is not the model that is being proposed by ICANN at this stage, ICANN staff. So there's a lot there. Let me open up the discussion there and see. First of all, the first question that I'd like to ask Council is what should our response be to the informal invitation of Bertrand to the Birds of a Feather meeting, which is happening this afternoon at 4 p.m.? Mary.
Is somebody else in the queue?
Mary's just trying to get to the mic, Chuck.
I just want to ask, maybe it might be a dumb question to me, it's a sort of fundamental baseline question. The GAC statement in SIL, I think, talked about track differentiation between categories, but now today, or this group is going to talk about categories or categorization. I guess my question to all of us is that the same thing? I mean, what does categories mean?
Let me try and clear that up and clarify that as much as I can. I've had extensive discussions with Bertrand on this. He's an extreme... sorry. That was obviously a slip of the tongue. And I love my government representatives, so there's no problem there. But he is very much in favor of the notion of categories as he sees it. Is there are different types of TLDs that can be applied for. So let me explain what he means there. And, you know, if we want to go further into this, we may need to ask him formally to clarify his position or in one of these meetings. But so I'll just try and summarize what I've talked to him about informally. He feels that there's already three categories in the DAG as presented right now. The standard community. He feels that more categories could be or should come out of this process, for example, corporate TLDs, NGOs, for example, we can all imagine what types of... So his approach to this is to say that different types of TLDs represent different types of processes, and that you may not be able to deal with, say, an application from a developing country NGO in the same way as you would deal with an application for a commercial TLD from a corporate in America. He suggests that different rules may apply to different applicants, including, obviously, different rules of prices. That is basically his suggestion there. There's a lot of hands up, but I think, Chuck, you are next.
The first thing I want to remind people, or maybe even inform people of, that weren't around then, at the early stages of the new GTLD PDP, we spent quite a bit of time talking about a categorization approach, and the it was rejected. And the reason, some of the reasons that I, as I recall, maybe some others can remember better than me, is it creates a complexity. It creates a tremendous amount of problems. And maybe the best way to illustrate it in terms of more recent experience, most of you will recall that the idea of an IDN GTLD fast track, as soon as that was brought up, there was strong reaction by those who were planning to submit ASCII new GTLDs for fear that they would be delayed longer instead of the if the IDN GTLDs went first. So I think that's an illustration that categorization, and by the way, Bertrand and I have talked about this on a phone call a few months ago. It's an illustration that there are an awful lot of questions that have to be answered. So what if we categorize them, who goes first? And then you're going to pit one category against another, and it's a level of complexity that would probably cause delays to the new GTLD process of a year or so, in my opinion. Because there are just so many unanswered questions, and it was considered, this is a long time ago now, but it was considered and rejected by the PDP team.
Chuck, if I made two comments on what you've just said. The first is that obviously you what you've said is in line with what I was saying earlier on, that some of these suggestions may clash with the recommendations that we had, as the GNSO had. Secondly, as I understand it, Bertrand is not suggesting that anyone should go before anyone else. He's just suggesting that there should be different rules that apply to different types of applicants, i.e. he's suggesting that it be recognized in the DAG that not everyone, not all applicants are of the same kind, same color, and they should all have the same rules. But I don't think his intent, in fact, I'm pretty sure that his intent is not for some applicants to launch before others.
My point is that as soon as you start lumping people into categories other than those that are already in existence, questions like that come up, and what's the purpose of categories unless you're going to give different agreements? I have asked ICANN, new GTLD implementation staff recently, whether the intent right now is to, for every new GTLD applicant, for them to have the same basic agreement, and the answer is yes. Now, there will be some exceptions for community-based TLDs in terms of registration restrictions and so forth. You're right, Stefan, that going down this path would go against not only recommendations made by the council, and they rejected the idea of categories, but also the implementation plan that's in place, and there would have to be major changes to it. Those changes would take a lot of time.
Thank you, Chuck. I had Debbie next in the queue. Can I just remind people of my initial question, which was, should we participate this afternoon? Because time is running out to decide that.
And that's what my comment...
Tim, do you have me in the queue, too?
Yes, I do, Tim.
Hi, okay. And that's what my comment was about. I spoke
briefly with him about this whole idea and the birds of the feather, and I had expressed to him that I had some interest in finding out more. I can't attend the meeting at 4 because I'm going to be participating in another event, but I did tell him that I would be interested to hear more about what's going on with this group. So to the extent, I don't know that it's appropriate for the GNSO to make an official response. I don't know that I agree with that. If you're looking for someone to follow what's going on with that group, I'm more than willing to do that.
Thanks, Debbie. I think that the council should decide whether it wants to get involved or not. It is an unofficial thing, but we should decide, and then obviously Debbie has volunteered, if we do so decide, to follow that. I have in the queue now Alan, Jamie, and Tim. And Wendy, sorry.
Okay, a couple of things. First of all, I don't think there's anyone prohibiting an individual from participating in the Birds of a Feather, even if the council does not want to participate formally. So it could be under either category.
Don't say category.
Forgive me. I know not what I do. From my discussions with Bertrand, which have also been exhaustive on this, there is some feeling that the current process we're on, we're only going to keep on adding new and more overriding, overarching issues, and this process will keep on going for a long time. And categories may be a way of advancing some of them in ways that are non-conflicting with others. And I, from my point of view, we already have categories. We have three kinds, or at least two, certainly the community ones. They already have different rules of application and different post-delegation rules because there's a separate dispute mechanism for it. So we already have categories. We already have some different rules. The question is, can we add some more differentiation in terms of price or timing or vertical integration or whatever? So that's my understanding of what he wants to discuss, which doesn't quite match with what you read out. So I'm going to go and find out.
I read out his email.
And I was reacting to what was said prior to that. So,
okay. Jamie.
Well, I would say much of Alan just said, and that's my understanding too. I would add some, only that I understand that the effort that is being engaged, that Bertrand is proposing to engage, is to first to define categories in order to smooth the process ahead, not to make any further delays to the process. They will only be agreed upon by anybody if this prerequisite is met. And I think, I think truthful and light-hearted exercise that can be fruitful, and I would not rule out from immediately and put forward somebody can do. I'm against, or if we don't even know what are we are opposing, so we should pay some attention to understand the effort that others are making.
Thanks, Jamie. Just to go back to what Alan was saying, I didn't suggest that the GNSO individuals individuals that sit on the council shouldn't participate. What I want to be careful about, because this tends to happen, I've seen it happen before, is that you go along as individuals, you each get a call, say,
in a private email. No one shares this with the council. We all go along as individuals, and then what happens? You're introduced to the group as being on the GNSO council, and suddenly you become official spokesman for the council, but no one, you know, there's no official council position. So it's an obvious thing that in an individual capacity, anyone can talk to anybody else and do whatever they like. But if you just be careful that if there's no council position, you're not seen as representing the council. That's all I was saying.
I guess, my feeling is the council has already taken a position, and that is the policy development process that was engaged in that resulted in the new GTLD policy that exists. Categories, are not, as Bertrand is describing it and some others, are not a part of that. I think that was even made clear by Peter and the staff during the open forum today, and I think that's the way that should be left. And if anyone on the council wants to participate in this in a personal capacity or whatever, that's fine. But I don't know that the council needs to take any kind of official position at this point. And if at some future day down the road, this comes to a point where it results in further policy work for the council, then we would take it up then. But I think right now, given the priority work that's been going on and the good reason for that priority work, the last thing we need to do is to try to take on additional work, especially in regards to something that's already been completed and hasn't even been implemented yet. So let's just let this policy, a new GTLDs run out, let's let this thing get started, and then we can revisit new ideas and concepts that might improve it down the road.
Thanks, Tim. Wendy.
What Tim said, thank you.
How could you have your hand up like 10 minutes ago and know what Tim was going to say?
I have no need to echo it since it has been said.
Okay, thanks.
Same thing for me and Alan.
Okay, any further comments on this? Perhaps I can add a personal comment. I am absolutely convinced that Chuck is right on this, and that adding this discussion to the new GTLD debate at this point will only lead to more delays and more sidetracking. But that is a personal opinion. Any further discussion on new GTLDs in general? Tim, have you got your hand up? No. Okay.
No, my mouse went wild on me here for some reason. Sorry about that.
Okay, no problem. Thanks. Item 9 and the Nairobi GNSO meetings that we have had here. Now, perhaps I can just open this up for any comments that people would want to make. I think we've, as preliminary comments, I might just say that I would like to personally thank both the staff, the council, and the people working on the remote participation system, because we broke that in on Saturday. The council tends to, because it is the first body within ICANN to work at these meetings, we work on the Saturday and Sunday. We always tend to break new technologies and systems and work habits in. I think we've all found it to work extremely well. So I just want to thank the people that handled that, because personally, I just felt like it was one of our normal conference calls, and that things went very smoothly. I also want to say that I was extremely impressed with the way that the people participating remotely, especially in Reston, people like Olga as well, were able to chime in, and I know that meant that sometimes they worked throughout the night. So I think it really does need to be said. I wanted to say it anyway, that a big well done to the people who did have to go through that kind of a routine for a full week to be able to participate in our debates. And with that having been said, I don't really want to go over every meeting and evaluation or a recap of every meeting. We've all sat through them, but so maybe I can just open it up for discussion there if anyone would like to speak to any specific points that, we ran through this week. Mary.
Hi. So I'm going to go back to Saturday as a sort of general observation and as a follow-up from a discussion that, as council, we had in Seoul, and that was the role of questions and comments by attendees at the working sessions of the council. And once again, I mean, I'm not saying that only councillors should speak, nor am I necessarily saying that it should be a priority, although I think that was necessary, and Stefania handled that really well. I think my sense is that sometimes the sessions differ. Some of it's discussion, some of it's updates by staff, for example. And my feeling that when we have updates by staff to council prior to those updates being presented to the public in their public sessions, it seemed to me on occasion that non-councillors who are present at these council update sessions got a chance to get their comments and questions in before others arrived or could participate or something. And I'm not, in principle, necessarily opposed to that, but it's something that I wanted to bring up for discussion as to whether that's something we care about, as to whether that's something we want to have rules for, and so forth.
Thanks, Mary. I think that's a very important point. I actually take some responsibility for what you're saying, because I was coming into on the Saturday session, I was coming into this whole thing and trying to get to grips with it, and I did move to try and give council priority, but not straight away. So apologies for that. I was trying to get to grips with everything. I do feel that my personal feeling is that these sessions are open, but that councillors should be given priority, and that means that councillors should speak first, that they should be able to engage with the people giving the presentations. I fully agree with the fact that if these presentations are simply repeats of the public sessions that we have on the Monday or the Tuesday afterwards, then I don't really see the point. If they are sessions where council is able to ask follow-up, more specific questions, and get more specific information, then they do serve some purpose. So I do think that what you're saying is important, and my personal feeling is that that extends to seating arrangements in the room. I had to ask people to accommodate councillors that were coming in. It's a Saturday, so some councillors don't get here in the morning. They might get here in the afternoon, and they come into a room that's full of people with people sitting down at the table. And there's no more room for them to sit down. I would like to add that the people that I spoke to informally, none of them were opposed to the fact, of getting up for a councillor. Their take on this is that while there's empty spaces at the table, why not occupy them? But if councillors need them, then they'll take them up. So that's it, really. Christina.
Just very briefly, I completely agree with you and Mary as to council having some priority, certainly not exclusivity, on the working sessions and the presentations. I do have a couple questions, but before I get to those, a couple comments. From my perspective, and there may be no way to change this, but the GAC council meeting was really one of the more passive remote participation sessions that I participated in. Speaking just more generally about the remote participation, it was phenomenal, particularly when I compare it to my last experience with remote participation, which was for the Delhi meeting. The improvements are just absolutely, I can't even begin to describe how significant they are, and staff should really be commended. I will note that a huge thanks from my part goes to Newstar and the folks who organized this Reston Hub, because given the time difference, there is no way that I would have managed to stay awake if I'd been sitting at my kitchen table doing this. So I guess one thing that I would just ask that ICANN staff considers, that in the future, if there are meetings, or if it kind of becomes the habit now that remote participation is the quality is more improved, but to the extent that there are meetings where you do have significant numbers of folks who would otherwise participate in person, or are extensive, participate heavily, that there are going to be a number of people who need to do those remotely, I do think having hubs really will, I think, make the experience better for everyone involved, not only all the people who are participating remotely, but also to the extent that we can make a contribution to those of you who are meeting in person. I guess my only question is that I would love, to the extent that it's possible to get one, just kind of a brief update as to the dinner with the board, in terms of, to the extent that there were any kind of opinion. I know that Avery used to have everybody get up and kind of summarize what the table spoke about. I certainly don't expect to do that. But if there are any kind of general themes that came out of those conversations, I think I would love to know what they were. Thanks.
Christina, that's a really difficult question to answer. We didn't do the I was sitting next to Avery, so I discussed this with her, and she explained to me that she had dropped that system a while back because it was difficult to handle. We certainly didn't do, I'm talking about the fact that one person from each table stands up and gives a summary. We certainly didn't do it here. We had two dinner topic items which were distributed on the list and everyone knows about, and then it was just private conversations. So I think it would be difficult to give you a general feeling of what the conversations that happened during that dinner. I don't know if anyone wants to add anything to that, but I'd find it very difficult anyway. Chuck.
Yes, sir. Sorry, I was in a side conversation again. What was the question?
Had your hand up. You had your hand up, so I thought you wanted to say something.
Oh, yes, I did. I forgot. Sorry about that. I'm a little daisy here. We have a history of allowing those meetings to be open to the extent that we're able to do so. I really personally like to allow people to participate, but I do understand that when time's running out, we have to give preference to counselors, and we really should get counselors around the table as much as possible. So I hope we don't do away with the openness of those meetings, and I don't think anybody's suggesting that. In fact, I think each of you made comments that were well-balanced in that regard. I think it is important that we don't come across as the counselors being an elite category, and I just think we need to watch our attitudes in that regard, that we never portray that. The counselors, though, do have a responsibility, so it's important that we can ask questions and make comments and interact. So that's really all I wanted to say on that. The situation when time and giving some counselors preference, the way you handled it, Stefan, was was handled well, and just like Mary said. So I think that we can continue with the openness while at the same time tactfully managing it. And I thought that happened that way on Saturday.
Thanks,
and Chuck. Sunday.
Thanks. Jamie.
Well, I won't repeat what Chuck said, but I think that Stefan managed well this problem, and I would like to not only to I don't know how to say in English compliment, but also to thank Stefan for his great job he did in Nairobi, because he had two challenges: this remote participation thing, the awkward of some of our accommodations here. It was the first time, and so I would emphatically say that. Thank you, Stefan.
Thank you very much, Jamie. Thank you to all. Is there any other business? In that case, Chuck. Oh no, that's.
I just had my hand down, but let me take advantage of this to just say thank you to everybody, and especially Stefan and Glenn for their invaluable support this week. You all did a great job, so special thanks from me.
Well, Stefan doesn't live with Glenn. I was not mentioning Glenn because they are part of the same body.
Yes, no, I don't live with Glenn. Not yet. But we do both live in France.
But you don't live without her.
That is true. Thanks very much, everyone. The meeting is adjourned unless there's any other business.